So if you have your Bibles, there are Bibles in the pews. I always like to encourage people to, not only do we put the verses on the screen, but also for those of you that are here, to take the Bible that is in front of you, and you can follow me along as well. And we're going to ask the Lord's blessing upon His Word. Father, we just thank You again that we can look to You and to Your Word, because You remind us in Your Word, God, that if we seek You, we will find You. If we knock, it shall be open unto us. And if it ask, You shall give unto us as well. And so this evening, Lord, we ask that You will lead us by Your Spirit. God, that You will continue to speak to us, Lord, the way, God, that You see fit. You know where each and every one of us are this evening in our walk and in our relationship with You. And Lord, we just pray and ask for those that are not here, that You will continue to minister to them, for those that are on vacation and with their families, having a wonderful time, God, that they will continue to sense Your presence, continue to sense the leading of Your Spirit. And Lord, we pray that You will keep them safe. We pray for those that are here, God, that You will open up our hearts to continue to receive from You this evening. We give You praise and give thanks, because Your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so we give thanks to You. In Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 14, and it says here, verse 15, Jesus said that if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. So last week, we had Matthew Dimitrov spoke on the jar or Jesus, and you had to decide either you are going to be more focused on what is important to you, or the need to see Jesus Christ into your heart and lives, which one you value most. Jesus said that you can't love two masters at the same time, that you will either hate one and you will love the other. And it was a very fitting message, and I give God praise and thanks for that reminder to each and every one of us here last week. And this week here, we're going to jump right into part two of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. Several weeks ago, I did an introduction to the symbols of the Holy Spirit. What are symbols? And that introduction is really just to shed light on symbols that are used both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, more so in the Old Testament. And then following that, we look at the attributes, we look at the characteristics, and we look at the function of water, fire, wind, breath, oil, dew, and the seal. These are all symbols of the Holy Spirit. And we know that there are about 15 different symbols of the Holy Spirit. And also in my last sermon, I also looked at the differences between symbols and types. And the reason why I touch on symbol and types is because not many believers can differentiate between those two. When you talk to people what are symbols, especially believers, they sometimes mix up the symbols with the types and the types with the symbols. And one major difference that I mentioned between symbol and type is that type speak of a prophetic interpretation, while symbols are not. The dove is not a prophetic interpretation. Dew or oil, they are not prophetic. But when we look at the example of Adam, the first man created by God, brought sin into the world and death into the human race, then we hear the Bible talks about the new Adam. So Adam in the old, which was a type of what Christ is going to be, shed light on all that Christ is going to come and do for us. One Adam brought death, the new Adam brought life. One brought destruction, the other one brought peace with God. And so this evening, I want to also remind each and every one of us that as we read our Bible and as we take time to really look at God's Word, to also look for these things, look for types in the Bible and look for symbols. That is the reason why I will take these several weeks to cover the symbols of the Holy Spirit. And as part of my message, the last time we were here, we looked at several types, several symbols of the Holy Spirit. I think we looked at six different symbols of the Holy Spirit, and then we looked at the seal, which was the seven. And then today we are going to look at several other symbols of this Holy Spirit. We're only going to touch on two tonight. One of the things that I said the last time also, another type, if you ever want to know the differences between types and symbol, that when you look at the offices of Jesus, the office of prophet and priest and king in the Old Testament, every one of those offices represent what Christ is going to be for us. Christ is the only one that fulfills the office of a prophet, that fulfills the office of a priest and fulfills the office of a king. He is the chief prophet. He is the chief king and he is the chief priest. And the Bible said that he is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. That means he stands above every other king, above every other priest and above every other prophet. And all of them subject themselves to him. That is the reason why in the Old Testament, Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. That means the presence of the Lord filled and overflowed the temple. And then Isaiah will talk about this vision that he has, this theophany of God, this visible manifestation of God. And he says, in the midst of all of that, he says, I saw the seraphims. And he says, each have six wings, and with two they cover their face, and with two they cover their feet, and with two they flew. And in the midst of all of that, they'll sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, worshiping the King of Kings and worshiping the Almighty God and worshiping the Everlasting Father. They bow before him. And Isaiah said, I saw all of that and saw him for who he is. And brothers and sisters, when we come to worship God, we worship the King of Kings. We worship the Lord of glory. We worship the Almighty God. We bow to no other but the Lord Jesus Christ. We bow to no other but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who take us out from darkness and brought us into his marvelous light, the one who has transformed our lives, the one who has redeemed us with his own precious blood. That is the reason why this evening we can stand and partake of his broken body and his shed blood, because he has accomplished, he has triumphantly raised from the grave to give us life, the Bible says, and to give us more abundantly, so that you and I, brothers and sisters, don't have to live a life in fear and doubt, but we can live a life in peace with God. And that is the assurance that we have. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you also believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, Jesus said, I would have told you, brothers and sisters, that I, Jesus, am going to prepare a place for you. I am preparing that place for you. For where I am, you may be also. And Jesus said that not only that you will be with me, but I am coming again to receive you unto himself. And that is the assurance that we have as believers and brothers and sisters in Christ, that even though our back is against the wall, even when life hurts us and life throws a stumbling block along the way in our life, I can tell you that God still holds our hands and he guides our feet and he leads us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Which is the same reason David, in all these years, David can say, even though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. God, I will fear no evil. Death has no power. Death has no victory over us, because Jesus Christ has triumphed victoriously over sin, over Satan, and over the grave, so that you and I can walk this evening victoriously and live a life above sin, live a life and not be afraid of death, so that we can rejoice because we worship a king. We worship the Almighty God. We worship the King of Kings. That is the assurance that we have. as believers in Christ, Paul writing to the church. Paul writing to the church at Philippi, he says, have this mind among yourself, brothers, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count it equality with God, but a thing to be grasped. Paul says that Christ emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. This talks about the humility of Christ. And Paul says, and being found in human form, took on the incarnate Son of God, came down to each and every one of us, came down and became one of us. Paul says, and being found in the form of God, he humbled himself and become obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And then Paul continued to say, therefore, brothers and sisters, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on Christ, on him, the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, look at it, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, hallelujah, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory, to the glory of God the Father. And then Peter will stood up on the day of Pentecost, right after that, when they went into the temple. And Peter would stood up and says, Peter stood up after the healing the layman at the gate of beautiful. Peter stood up again among the religious leaders and he said, therefore there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name, brothers and sisters. No other name. You name every name that you can think of. Men in the past, men in the old, men present, and kings and priests and prophets and governors and anything. You name them. Paul says there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's only through Jesus Christ you can come into full assurance, brothers and sisters. It's only through Jesus Christ that you are saved. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. No one else offers salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, that no man comes to the Father but by me. And that is the assurance that we have as believers in Christ. The boldness of Peter, the boldness of Paul and all the other apostles came from knowing who Christ is. And they knew that they were also empowered by the Holy Spirit, just as you and I are here this evening, empowered by the Holy Spirit. They knew, they understood the work of the Holy Spirit with such an assurance and confidence in their heart that they were willing to lay down their lives for the name of Christ. And if we today as believers, brothers and sisters, are so passionate, are so filled with the power and the presence of God, there is nothing stopping us, that even death cannot separate us from the love of Christ. Paul says, what can separate me from the love of Christ? Tribulation, persecution, peril, pestilence, and anything cannot separate us from the love of Christ. And brothers and sisters, God assure us this evening that if you are in Christ, yes, you are sealed with such a promise, with such an assurance in your heart. And that is the assurance that we have today, believers in Christ. So today there are five remaining symbols that we're going to look at. We're going to focus on two of those five remaining symbols of the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to look at the earnest of the Spirit and the finger of God. And I know I said this the last time, that out of the five that are left, which is the earnest of the Spirit, the finger of God, the still small voice, the first fruit of the Spirit, and the enduement of the Spirit. And I'm certain that these things, as I mentioned, and most people may have read their Bible, most believers have read it, but never stop to think about what it truly means to us as believers in Christ. So this evening, we're going to look at a number of scripture passages to help us grasp the deep understanding of these symbols. And I know that, like I said, many of you may questions and have doubts about this because you have not read it in your Bible or anywhere else, or maybe you have. So I will try to cover them in detail using several scripture references to show how they are being used and how we can also see the work of the Holy Spirit. So I'll ask that we jump right into it. The first one, I believe Ezra may have it on the screen, the earnest of the Spirit. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to just read the English Standard Version, then I'm going to read the NIV, and then I'm going to read the King James Version, focusing on 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, but I'll read verse 21st. Paul says, "For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory. And it is God who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us." Then when you look at verse 22, he says, "And who has also put His seal on us and has given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." God has given us His Spirit as a guarantee. Now the ESV and the NIV uses this word guarantee or a deposit. And when you read the NIV, it says God set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit. Guarantee what is to come. But then when you read the King James Version, it says, "Who had also sealed us," God has also sealed us and has given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Here you see the King James uses the word earnest of Spirit. But in the other two passages, the NIV and the ESV, they use the word guarantee, they use the word deposit. And basically what it simply means, brothers and sisters, I'll read two more passages and then we'll look at the meaning of it. But when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5, Paul says, "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God and a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on we may be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be clothed, but that we would be for the clothed, so that this mortal may be swallowed up by life." And then verse 5 here, Paul says, "God, He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Now here you see, in 2 Corinthians again, chapter 5, verse 5, in the ESV uses the word guarantee. But then when you read the King James in verse 5, it says, "Now He had wrought us for the same thing is God, who has given us the earnest of His Spirit." You see, the word earnest of the Spirit is being used here over and over in the King James, and the word simply means guarantee or pledge. And then Paul will write the same very thing in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, and I'll read the King James Version. Paul says, "In whom you also trusted, you as believers." Now, when you read the Bible and you read these words, it's always speaking to the children of God, believers in Christ, not those that are outside, those that are inside Christ. And Paul says, "In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Each and every one of us coming to faith, he says, "In whom also after you believe," that is in Christ, "you believe, you were sealed." See the word sealed that we looked at last night, "with the Holy Spirit of promise." And then verse 14, Paul says, "Which is the earnest of our inheritance." The earnest of the Spirit, the guarantee, the pledge that God has given us His Holy Spirit. of our inheritance until, brothers and sisters, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now let me explain this to each and every one of us here this evening. Meaning, like I said, if you hear the meaning over and over as you read the NIV and the ESV, it talks about the earnest of the Holy Spirit. Basically, it is a Greek word called arabon, and it's defined simply as a pledge, which you have read here, or a guarantee. It means that it is a down payment, a final payment that God has done for each and every one of us. And it's like a money in a transaction that you pledge something in return that you will offer the full payment. And that's what God has done for each and every one of us. Talks about this, the earnest of the Spirit that God has pledged. That you don't have to worry. And we see a similar story in Genesis chapter 38 with Judah. And Tamar, when he wanted to go and sleep with Tamar, verse 17 says, and Tamar says, and he answered, I will send you a young goat from the flock. Now, I'm not rereading the entire passage, but here is how a dung payment, here's an example of how it works. I will send you a young goat from the flock. And she said, if you give me a pledge until you send it. And she says, no, you promise, but in your promise, you need to give me something that you are truly promising me. You're truly offering this. Yes, you said you're going to do this, but show me, give me something so I can walk away. And Tamar said, Judah said to Tamar, what pledge shall I give you? And she replied, your signet and your cord and your staff that is in your hand. So he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. And then she arose and went away, and taking off her veil, she put it on the garments of her window. You know this story, how beautiful this story is, that if Jacob did not even remember all that he has done, this he couldn't remember. But when she presented back to him with the child that she wanted to prove that, how do you know that this child is mine? She said, here is your staff, here is your signet, and here is everything that you pledged to give me. And God has pledged the Holy Spirit as the earnest, as a guarantee for us as believers in Christ. That you and I don't have to worry, that God has not only satisfied through death and burial and resurrection and on His ascension into glory, but He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, let not. He said to His disciple that if I go, the Holy Spirit will not come. And we see the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost. You see, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is a guarantee to all those who are in Christ. And it is the same, and it is the seal of the Holy Spirit on every believer. Every one of us have this seal. And no devil has any claim on the child of God. God doesn't give you His Holy Spirit today if it's a seal and it's a pledge and something that He's already done and accomplished. How can we read our Bible and the passages that we are reading here tonight and says that God give me the Holy Spirit and tomorrow He can take it back? God don't take back. The Holy Spirit is a sign and a seal to the believer, those of us who are in Christ. I heard so many people say that they can lose the Holy Spirit. How? When you read scriptures, can you say and doubt that God has given you His Spirit and you can lose Him? If you're truly born again by the Spirit of God, how can you lose the Holy Spirit? Because it is a pledge to us, brothers and sisters. It is a guarantee. So don't claim that you can lose Him. Christ has not done an incomplete work in our lives. That which He has done is complete. All of what Christ has done for us is fully paid for. Fully paid for. That is the reason why when you read your Bible and you have the assurance, but David said, even though in the midst of death, I will fear no evil. And he didn't have to wait for the cross, but he knew in the God in whom he served,
He knew that this assurance that God is not going to take away in the Old Testament day when David sinned against Bathsheba. Nathan walked up to him and said, Nathan, David, you are the man. And David wrote the 23rd Psalms and he says, create in me, O God, a clean heart and a new spirit. Take not your Holy Spirit away from me. Cast me not away from your presence, but restore to me the joy of your salvation. That was in the old, but in the new, here is this new pledge, this new guarantee, this assurance that Christ has given to us. That is the hope that we have in Christ. Hear what Jesus said, brothers and sisters, my sheep in John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them what? Eternal life. And they shall never what? Never perish, Jesus says. Neither shall any man what? Any man pluck them out of my hands. How can you say that you can lose yourself, lose the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, no man can pluck them out. Not even the devil has the authority to do that. No man can be able to pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out. Well, look what Jesus is saying. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all guarantees this in our lives, brothers and sisters. And I trust and pray that as you read God's word, that you will allow the Holy Spirit more and more each day to open up your eyes so that you can see the truth of God's word and to live your life in relationship to Christ, that this assurance that we have, this hope that we have in Christ is secured once and for all, that the work on the cross is finished and accomplished. So that is the earnest of the Spirit, the guarantee of the Spirit that we have. And then we have the second thing that we're going to look at tonight is the finger of God. I choose this one to speak on this week here. The finger of God, and there are four references to the finger of God, which speaks about as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And there are three references in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. Now I'm going to read it because I want us to be able to see that from the passage of Scripture. In Exodus chapter 8 and verse 16, and here Moses and the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, and Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. And all dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magician did so with their enchantment and bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. And look at what they said in the 19th verse. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. What you are seeing here is not by man, but by the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. You see what they said? This is the finger of God. This is the Spirit of God. This is the power of God. This is God at work. We cannot contest. We cannot compare to this. And then in Exodus 31, verse 18, and here Moses turned to the people and he gave them unto Moses, which is the tablets. And when he had made an end of communing with them upon Mount Sinai, two tablets of testimony, tablets of stone written, the tablets of stone written with the finger of God. How many times do we read our Bible and we pass those simple things, those things that sometimes our eyes just brush over and never spend time to really see and sense what God is saying in His Word? And then in Deuteronomy chapter 9, again, we get another reference. Verse 10, and the Lord deliver unto me 2 tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all of the words which the Lord spake unto you in the mount of the midst of fire in the day of the assembly. And then finally in the New Testament, those are the 3 that we have in the Old Testament and 1 in the New Testament. Let us read Luke chapter 11. And hear what it says. Now, as he was casting out demons, this is Jesus. He was casting out a demon that was mute. And when the demon had gone out of the man and spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, while others test him, kept seeking him for a sign from heaven. But he knew, knowing that, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do you, son, cast them out? Jesus said, therefore they will be your judges. And look at verse 20. But it is by the what? The finger of God that I cast. Jesus said it is by the finger of God. He didn't take God's finger and cast out demons. No, he was talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that is at work. He says it is by the finger of God that I cast them out. Then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And he says, when a strong man fully armed guards his own place, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcome him, he takes away his armor in which he had trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters, Jesus says. And here you hear me talk about this meaning of the finger of God, which represents the symbol of the Holy Spirit actively at work, not only in creation, brothers and sisters. God, Holy Spirit, is not only at work in creation when he hovers over the deep, the sea. The Bible talks about, but from Genesis to Revelation, 360 times, the Holy Spirit has been mentioned in the Bible. 90 times alone in the Old Testament and 260 times in the New Testament. So the Holy Spirit has been actively at work in the hearts and lives, not only in the new creation, not only in the old creation, but also in the new creation, working on the redemptive plan of God to bring man to himself. And we see that in Moses talks about this finger of God. Speaks about the Spirit of God that is at work to bring about deliverance, to bring about healing. And to all the work that has been taking, brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, has always been actively at work. And each and every day, brothers and sisters, I must say that the Holy Spirit is at work in our hearts and in our lives. In our lives, every man, every boy, every child, convicting them. That is what it means about the finger of God at work in the New Testament. It is the Holy Spirit that is at work in your heart every single day concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. Jesus said that he, when the Holy Spirit come, he will convict the world. Speaking of how the Holy Spirit will now speak to your heart and point to you that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. And that you are dead in your trespasses and sin. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul says? We are all dead in our trespasses and sin. And then when you come to Christ, Paul says, you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Dead men don't have life. Dead men can't get up and walk. Dead men can't speak. Dead men can't talk. And that's the state that we are outside of Christ, before Christ. When we come to Christ, only then the Holy Spirit quickens our heart, convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, bring us to faith, bring us to repentance, bring us to our knees so that we surrender our life to Christ. And walk in obedience to it. All of that, that regenerate work of the Holy Spirit, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus, that which is flesh is flesh. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, should I enter my mother's womb and be born again? No. Jesus said, that which is flesh, and that which is spirit. The wind blows where it pleases, and it goes, and it comes, and it does what it wants, and no one knows, but it is He who will bring man to faith. My wife always says I get too much of hand motion, you know. I dance when I'm on the stage. This morning as I was preaching, one lady says, hey, my son says, you are the happy preacher. That kind of get me to laugh, so I'm the happy preacher, I guess, because I'm dancing all the time. And so my point is tonight, brothers and sisters, when we look, we can see how God has always actively been at work in our lives. Without the Holy Spirit, again, to remind us, none of us can come to faith in Jesus Christ. And He is responsible for our born-again experience. He is the one. The Bible says no man can come to Christ. None. Unless the what? The Spirit of Christ what? Draw us. Bring us. Woo us. You know, Jesus said, go in all the world and preach the gospel. That's all He said, go. He never tell you, you're going to save them. How many times we try to save people? How many times we believe that we can convict people of sin and of righteousness and of judgment? I remember in the days when I used to drive and go to Scarborough and go sit in my good friend's home and teach him the Bible every Sunday evening. And here today he's with his family. And for all these years they've been sorting Jesus. It has nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with me convicting them, but faithfully teaching them the Word of God. And God did that work of convicting them. God did that work of bringing them to faith. God did that work of taking hold of his, their hearts and their lives and bring them to faith and repentance so that they can serve Him. And that's what we do here today, brothers and sisters, is to walk in obedience to His command. Jesus says that we should go, and we go. Jesus says, go, be my hands and be my feet, be my ears, be my eyes, be everything. All He needs is that He can find us, He can use us so that we can be the vehicle so that He can meet and speak to others. They were never meant to convict anyone of sin. They were never sent to bring men to faith. It was just to take the good news. The Bible, Paul says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is when it's preached, it's when it's proclaimed, it's when it's being made known that God will do that work. Because God's word is powerful, and God does the work of convicting our hearts and our lives. And the Holy Spirit plays a key role in our life, brothers and sisters. A very key role, and I trust and pray that all that you have heard here this evening will continue to encourage your heart, challenge your spirit to continue to walk with God. Serve Him, no, despite what it is. It may be a road that you're called to walk alone, but serve Him faithfully, obediently, willingly, and trust Him because He will never fail you. That's what He says. I will never fail you. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you, but I will be with you even to the end. Jesus says, throughout this journey, that is the passion that the disciples them had. That is the desire in the heart. These men who were just ordinary men when the Holy Spirit took hold of their life and they knew it. They knew it that they were so passionate that they were willing to go to the ends of the world. They were willing to lay down their lives for the name of Christ. And when you read the voice of the martyrs, when you read story of believers who have nothing, but yet again they have everything. They have nothing, but yet again they have everything in Christ, that they are willing to go despite the cost, despite the pain, despite the persecution, they're willing to go. And sometimes we who have everything here in abundance, we find it so hard to go. We find it so hard to be moved with compassion and love for the people of God, for the children of God, for those who Christ has died for. Let us as believers and those who are here this evening and those who are online, take heed, brothers and sisters. Let us be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let us walk obedience to His Word. Paul says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Why did he say such thing? Nevertheless, I live, but Christ that lives in me. Such an assurance of knowing who Christ is. That what matters most, brothers and sisters. That's what matters most. You can take this whole world, the songwriter says, but give me what? Give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can take everything. You see, they can take everything but you, but they can't take the Jesus away from you, brothers and sisters. They can take everything. Jesus said, don't be afraid of the one that can take the body, that can kill, but take, you know, but trust in the one who is responsible to, for the soul and the spirit. There are things that will dampen our hearts. There are things that will dampen our spirit. There, life will throw things at us, brothers and sisters. But let me say this to you, that there is one thing you can be guaranteed and assured of this afternoon, is the Holy Spirit at work in your life. It is what God has already done. It is the work that Christ is continuing to do in your heart and in your life. And so I continue to trust Him. Trust Him. You know, people talk about, you know, this work and life balance, and it's how I can balance what I do at work and how I can balance what I do at life. And guess what? Sometimes there is no place for God. Let me tell you something. You want a balanced life, you bring Him on board. You bring Him. If He's not there, then nothing is balanced. It's only when He comes into your life, it's only when you bring Him, then the scale is tipped to the balancing act. Then you see, it's balanced, brothers and sisters. But if Christ is not part of your plan, then it's not balanced. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again, God, for reminding us of your Holy Spirit and the need for us to walk in obedience to your word. Lord, thank you again, Father, that you have once again spoken to us, because we know truly, God, that it's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. So we give thanks and praise to you today. Lord, I pray, God, that you will go with us and go before us like you promised. As we commit our hearts to you, for those that are on Facebook and on YouTube and wherever they are going to be, they're watching us or even during the week, Father, we pray that you will continue to work in their hearts and in their lives. For those that don't know you, Father, we pray that they will come to know you, whom to know is life eternal, that you will bring them to faith, that you will bring them to a place, God, where they will surrender their lives to you, Father. You are the one that will convict their hearts. And for those that are here, God, that you will do the same. I pray for those that are struggling in their walk and in their relationship, God, that you will take hold of their lives. And Lord, give them such an assurance in their heart. The same assurance that you've given us here tonight, Father. Give them such peace, because it is only you, God, that can give peace that passeth all understanding. It is only you that can comfort our heart and our soul and our mind. We give thanks and praise to you tonight, Lord, as we commit everything into your hands. As we bring this service to a close, Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight. Thank you, Father, for the offering, God. Thank you for those that give to this ministry day in and week out, Father. Thank you, God, for their ongoing support faithfully, their tithes and their offering, God. We just thank you and praise you that you will bless every hand, that you will continue to pour out your blessing upon their lives. And God, that you will use, God, that which is giving to us, to use for your kingdom and for your glory and for your honor. Lord, we commit, Lord, the worship night that is coming next week. Lord, we pray for all the churches that are going to be participating. We pray, God, that your Spirit will be among us. We pray, God, that you are continuing to prepare their hearts for such a night as this. Lord God, that when we come together, Lord, we're not coming here as performers. We're not coming here as entertainers. We're not coming here to look good for ourselves. Lord, we're coming here to worship you and to worship the King of Kings and to worship the Almighty God and to worship and to exalt your name. Father, we pray, God, that the power on your, Lord, that the power on your presence will be felt and will be known, God, for everyone that are going to be here and those that are going to watch us online. I pray that you will anoint every singer, everyone that are here, God, that are going to be participating, Father. Prepare their hearts and their lives. And Lord, we pray, God, that lives will come to know you. Hearts will come to know you. Whom to know is life eternal. So we give you all the praise and all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.